Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of The Period Party. I'm here with Nat and our guest, Katie. Hi.
Hi.
Katie Van Uden. Hi, Katie.
Hello, my dear.
Hello. All right. So on this episode, we are talking about how to live and lead by design. And I think that this is such a good topic because so many women don't do this. And I hear from women all the time that say things along the lines of, oh, I think it's so cool that you love what you do. And because I don't love what I do. And so I think right now, I mean, I know that this is a thing.
It's so heartbreaking. Like, it's so heartbreaking. Anyway, that's why we're here.
Yes, I know, right? It really is. But anyways, just so you guys all know who Katie is, I'm going to tell you, she teaches ambitious women how to live and lead by design instead of default, hence the name of our topic for today. And she does this so that they can become the woman they've always known they can be, the woman they actually are deep within. These women, luminaries, are able to impact the world in a profound, positive, and purposeful way. Her programs, her blog experiences meet women in the season of becoming as a woman, leader, and luminary, and she gives the strategy, soul, sisterhood, and self-care to get there. So welcome. We're excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And obviously, I geek out on this topic. So to be able to chat with you ladies about it and each of us and how we've set up our own lives by design and what you're talking about, like what we love, like I'm geeking out.
Well, that's really great to hear. Awesome. Well, I feel like we should just jump right in. And, you know, I would say the first big question from so many people is, you know, what is living by design? What does that even mean? Living by design versus living by default. And, you know, and why does that even matter?
I love this. Okay. So, and you guys jump in with stories, anecdotes, everything as I'm going. It makes it so much more tangible and real life. But I'm going to start with default because it's the opposite of really what we want. But I define default as it's the space where almost life happens to you. So it's when we're reacting. It's when we're wishing for things and waiting for things. And then we're limiting ourselves. And it's the space of really fear-based and comfort and safety-based. And really I like to give the analogy of like a car on autopilot. So it's just a default that's set by maybe it's external circumstances, people, limiting beliefs, everything that's just defaulting us into an autopilot of really where we don't feel alive and we're not really showing up as ourselves in the world. And then
that sounds about right.
Wah, wah. And then to truly live by design, the way I like to describe it is because everyone looks different in how they're going to live their life by design. And so what it is really an essence that runs through it in the space of really where we have choice, which is ultimately freedom. It's where truth shows up and it's the core of who we are. It's where our purpose is. So our gifts and how we show up in the world. And it's also ownership. Of living by design, it's ownership and taking radical responsibility for how we experience our lives and how we get to co-create our lives. And then the final piece, and this is one that I love, but the final piece of really living by design is also joy. And I define it as a spiritual experience that's chosen of how we get to experience our lives, how we get to design our lives, not an emotion like happiness, which is lovely, but it can be fleeting. So design is really the space where all of those come together and we get to experience our lives, live our lives, show up, all of it, and really be who we are and live the life that we desire.
I love this. But, you know,
me
I know
too.
That when you can tap into that, like how awesome everything becomes. But, you know, there's a lot of resistance around doing it. And I find, you know, I mean, I guess we're not all wired the same. And so some people can quite easily relate to what you're talking about. And then there's other people that are just like, no, that's not possible. And obviously that's why you're here to show them. But I come up with a lot of resistance around the idea of, you know, that we create our reality. And, you know, people are like, well, I didn't create my cancer. And you're like, well, maybe not, but maybe your environment, your everything around you didn't help. And then, you know, that little piece of the pie, possibly being, you know, fear or whatever it is, drops in, and then it takes us on this wild ride where we don't really want to go. So I'd love to know how, you know, obviously you would find people are quite resistant to the idea, and what do you say to them?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. So I get that all the time. People are like, BS, lady. Like, yeah, this is all lofty and whatever, but not for me. And so a huge all the time. A huge piece of it is that we get to choose how we experience life. So so there may be things that come our way. They may be things that are thrown at us. Things that we had no idea were coming, or it's just a crappy situation that we're in, but we get to choose how we experience that, and thus how we react or choose to act after that happens for us or to us, however you want to think of it. And so a huge piece of why, and I'll do this briefly, but a huge piece of why I do what I do is because in my own journey, to keep it really short, I was a sole caretaker for my mom who has MS. I was 19, she ended up going in the ICU, a whole storm of things that happened. We didn't think she would live. And then for the next probably 5 years, my brother and I were taking care of her. Really, those curveballs that you don't want to deal with when you're talking about with like cancer. And it was coming out of that space of really where everything I let happen to me. So I went down the downward spiral of depression, the eating disorder, losing weight, hormonal issues, digestive, all that. But it was coming out of that and realizing I could design my life. I could choose how I experience it, even when those type of circumstances come up. And really what I needed was the tools to be able to realize that I had a choice in all of it. And then the ownership to take action and make the strategy to still be able to experience my life the way I desire, regardless of the external circumstances that were happening. Does that answer it?
That is humongous.
Yeah,
I think that's amazing because, that, like you said in the beginning, people say things like, oh, yeah, lady, this isn't possible, but you're living proof.
It is, and it takes... it takes courage and it takes effort and ownership of it. But I mean, I've coached hundreds, if not thousands of women, and for every single one of it, like I've witnessed it. As soon as we start to realize that we have a choice, not necessarily in everything that happens in our lives, but how we experience it and what we do after that, it creates an entirely different, I would say path, but also just the mindset of empowerment and freedom. And it's fabulous.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's so interesting that there is, you know, it's right there for us, yet most people are not willing, prepared, or just don't know how to tap into it.
Absolutely. And I think in a little bit we'll go into 5 steps that I walk through people through to really tap into that and create it for themselves. But another piece, I think, Nat, you were the one that was saying, you know, the fear comes up with it. Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
We can get to it later, though, but fear, I find that fear shows up, and most people, we just don't know what to do with it. So we're like, yeah, this is great. I want to live my life by design. I want to do this. And then the fear shows up, and you're like, shit. We run back out of the arena. We get scared. We don't know what to do. And so we just, like, we, like, freeze. I also call it sometimes analysis paralysis, where, like, we just start to analyze everything, and then we don't do anything.
I find myself in that position often.
It happens to me all the time. But when we have tools or we understand what fear is and what it's telling us, and we have a choice with it, then it shifts the whole experience of it and shifts, I think, the empowerment of what we can do with it versus just feeling like we're shaking in our boots with our fear and not doing anything.
And using that fear as a good thing, like it doesn't have to be, that can be a motivator, you know, teaching people how to use that to motivate them, to take them where they want to go, to choose different so that they don't have to continue to suffer and feel that, you know, fear from a place of of sadness and loss, and, you know, is very different from fear that you're using to go, okay, well, that's not where I want to go, so let's get on track to where I do want to go.
I love that. Do you guys know who Tara Moore is? She wrote Playing Big. Mm. It's a book.
Mm, yeah, I've mm-hmm. heard of her name, but I don't. I haven't read the book.
I heard her speak, and forgive me, Tara, if I butcher part of what she's saying with this, but she described fear in really two different ways. And the first one is there's a divine fear. So there's a fear we get when we're starting to, like, step into our truth or our zone of genius where we're just meant to thrive or our purpose in the world, where I really like to call it, like, our light. And then we have fear of projected or imagined things. And this is where our bodies will, like, physiologically still respond to it with, like, fight or flight. And so when we're able to start to decipher, is this, like, divine fear or is this fear of projected things and what can I do about it, it shifts. For me, when I heard her say that, it shifted everything of how I experienced fear. But it allows us to look at it a different way and, like, welcome it and be like, okay, what do I need to look at? What do I need to learn? What's really going on here? Versus, oh, crap, fear's here.
There she is.
That's a good one.
You know what I find?
Yep, I know.
I find it particularly interesting because if I talk about my personal experience with this, and you know, obviously my son's got a my son has a genetic condition, and there was very much a lot of fear when he was first diagnosed around, you know, just the emotions that you go through, and then, you know, pretty much being able to embody what you're talking about for his health and his future. We've been totally able to do that, and now I'm on a, you know, I'm at a point where I don't really have fear around him and his future, and, you know, I'm very much 100% can say, hand on heart, I don't worry about it anymore, because you know, we've been able to focus on where we want to go and really create from that positive space. But you know what's funny is I can totally see what I've created over there. I can totally know how I've done all of that, yet there's other parts of my life where it pops up and I can't. It's not that, or maybe I don't have the perspective, but it's like, man, and I've done it many, many times. So it's so funny though, because there's circumstances that can, you know, skew or change, or I guess we have to experience too to be able to know how to take on those challenges. But I find it really odd to look at the fact that I can totally have it sorted in one aspect, but then apply a different circumstance. I'm like, oh man, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was thinking the same thing when Katie, you were talking about that, and what you're saying now, Nat. It's amazing because it just goes to show where our strengths lie individually, right? I mean, you clearly just took control of the situation with Jordy, and whereas, you know, there's another situation you just can't quite wrap your head around, and maybe there's somebody else who could handle it in a different or better way. And maybe it's just that we need more training around these things, and they need to come up more until we figure out the exact solution for them.
Or we accept, you know, and experience. Sorry, yeah, go.
No, yes. I don't think I've ever met anyone, even gurus out there, who have the entire piece of living by design in place, and they're like, oh, girl, no, I've got it mastered. Like, this is cake.
I'm enlightened. I'm the best.
No.
Anybody who ever says that to me, I'm like, oh, don't even. I never buy it because it's just not true. It's not possible.
Oh, no, I know. But surrendering to that is, you know, part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I believe, like, the people I'm very inspired by and I love to be around and who I really see embrace this, it's not the piece of they're always perfect and they always get it right. A program I lead, it's called Skinny Dip Society. So we use the analogy of, like, waiting and wishing on the beach and then watching everyone in the water, like, live their lives, which is like living by design. And the huge piece of this isn't that the people skinny dipping in the water always stay there and they always get it perfect. It's that they come back to the shore sometimes and they're like, crap, okay, this isn't where I want to be. I'm going to go back to the water. It's the choice of going back to the water and saying, evaluating, being aware and being like, you know what, this is off. Or a situation presents itself and maybe at first you kind of default, but then you're like, wait a minute, I'm going to choose to go back to living in, by design instead of defaulting. So it's the choice in coming back to the water and truly living your life versus the person who always stays in the water, which is like a unicorn.
Now I want to get a little bit into the five steps to living by design that you talked about earlier. Maybe we can jump into that.
Yes, I would love to. Okay, so these five steps, it's really from my own experience and then coaching so many different women and really identifying that there needed to be almost like a very, very step-by-step, here's what you do. So in the moments where we feel like we're sabotaged, we're stuck, all of it, we have something that we can just work through quickly or semi-quickly. So the five steps, I'll go through the five real fast, and then I'll start explaining them. You guys jump in as I'm going through. But the first one is to create space. The second is to get clarity. The third is to detail your vision. The fourth is to set your intention and strategy. And then the fifth is to take action. And then there's a bonus one that I'll go over at the end that inevitably always shows up. So the first one is, a lot of times I see people or hear people, and they're like, you know, I want to change this. I want this to happen in my life. And they just like want to force it. It's like they're just trying to like pound their way through it, and they're not getting any clarity. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they want. And this could be big or small. And so we have to create space. Like, we have to be able to think. We have to be able to play. We have to be able to experience our lives, not just that hamster wheel that we sometimes contain ourselves to be able to identify, which is in the next step, to get clarity, but identify who we are, what we want, and where we want to go to. So a question I will ask people, I'd love to hear from you guys, is when you guys in the past month or so got clarity around something, what were you doing right before it, before you got clarity?
Stressing about it.
And then you're, okay, now you're totally debunking what I'm talking about.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm
you
just
know what,
kidding.
I always love to apply that saying that, when in the midst of chaos, clarity is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, like,
I find a little bit of comfort in that. I'm like, I know it's crazy. I feel like I'm getting to the tipping point. It's coming, but I can't stop it.
Absolutely. For me, like, if I look, I don't know about the last month, I've taken a lot of time off, but at key points in my business where I've been, like, super stuck with things, or even personally, like, me sitting at a computer, like, trying to hammer something out, it usually doesn't get me to the juice I want. It's when I'm like, oh, screw it, I'm going to go take a walk. Oh, I'm going to go play hooky. Oh, I'm going to go read this book and get inspired. It's usually not when I'm, like, forcing it. Do you guys have that or no? Is it just me now?
Yeah. Most definitely, for sure.
We have to, like, whether it's mental space, environmental space, all of it, we have to get space before we, like, jump in and want to have this divine intuition come to us. The second piece is to be able to get clarity. So we create space, and then we need to find clarity. We need to uncover what our true desires are, not our shoulds, our fears, what someone else is wanting to do, but to really dive into, okay, how do I want to show up in my life? How do I want to feel in my life? What do I want to create in my life? Who do I want to be or have around me? All of those, we have to get clarity on the truth of who we are and what we have or what we want to show up. And a quick little exercise I have people do for that is brain dump all the fears and shoulds and beliefs that come up around your desires and start to identify which ones are actually yours and which ones are being you're placing on yourself by something external.
So how do you brain dump?
Have you ever heard the term brain dump?
Yeah, I have, but for people that don't know.
So for brain dumping, when I have set a timer for like 10 minutes, get a sheet or two of paper, and I give the ladies in my program, the Black Coach, I give them a question and say, okay, on this paper for 10 minutes, I don't want you to filter. I don't want you to censor anything that comes to mind around your fears, your worries, your beliefs, your shoulds, anything that's taking up mental space. I want you to just write it down on the paper. Some women take more than 10 minutes. Some women use a half a sheet of paper. Some women use 10 sheets of paper. It doesn't matter. It's to get whatever is in your mind out of there and onto the paper.
Yeah.
Perfect. I think, yeah I was going to say, I think that we always, or many women tend to just judge themselves around what they're putting out on that paper. And I think it's very crucial to just to have a stream of consciousness and just do it rather than think about what
just
you're writing.
Just let it all out. Let it flow, lady.
Well, and it's, and for myself, but other ladies too, afterwards they're like, holy crap, I think all those things, that's taking up all that room in my head. What am I doing? Like, it gives them freedom to be like, that feels good to get that out there. But it helps us to identify what do we actually want versus all those lies that we have in our head. And then once we get that clarity, most people, and have you guys, either of you guys done the Desire Map by Danielle Laporte?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty popular. But that's an awesome way. Yeah. I love people diving into their desires and stuff. For me, a piece that was missing with it, and a lot of the people I work with, is they're like, oh, I want to feel, and they'll tell me, you know, five emotions or feelings they want to feel in their life. But it's been a year, and they're like, but I don't feel any of it. And so the next two steps are often the most crucial pieces that I find people missing. And so the third one is detailing your vision. And that is, okay, what exactly does this look like? In the most minute detail, what does this look like for your life? And so I have people think of it as like you're watching a movie. Of, okay, if you're watching yourself in a movie and you're moving through this and you want to feel this, who are you with? What are you saying? What are you wearing? What are you doing? What are you feeling? Every single thing they can detail so that they actually know where they're headed, versus this kind of ambiguous, well, I want to feel this way, but I don't really know where I'm going. And then the fourth piece is I want people to set their intention, but I want them to create a strategy. A lot of times, even if people get like the vision, they don't know where to go next. They'll be like, okay, Katie, this is great. Now what? And this is where more of the, I feel the masculine side comes in. But really, this is where I believe the ownership piece comes in of, okay, we have this clarity, we have this vision, we know we want to move towards this, and now it's the radical responsibility of setting the strategy in place and being able to take action on it. So a huge piece, and the question I will ask for everything, and it is the one question that can get most people unstuck when they know where they want to head, is, okay, what do you need in order to make this happen? So if they have this huge vision, let's say a simple one is someone wants to wake up earlier because they know it will shift their day. And so they create the vision.
It's the story of my life.
I should have done that this morning. Please. Anyway.
Yeah. I know, you're forced awake. I have nothing forcing me awake. So I want to hear this, Katie.
Oh, I want to hear it too. Sorry, I was just like going off the back of me going, I shouldn't have slept in this morning. And then you're like, a simple one is, I need to wake up earlier. Yes, I do.
I feel like for entrepreneurs, it's a common one. But we create the vision. We're like, oh, I'm going to wear this. I'm going to do this. I have this routine. And then we're like, okay, I'm just going to magically do it. And it never works out that way. Like, we have to say, okay, what do I need in order to make this vision come to life? And so I will drill it down to the most minute thing. So for me, I'm like, okay, what do I need in order to wake up this time, feel this way, create this in my day so that I can do X, Y, Z? Well, for me, I need to go to bed a certain time. So with every question, I can say, okay, what do I need in order to be able to go to bed at that time? Well, I need to stop working at 6 p.m. so that I can have dinner at this time and have this with my husband and do this. So what it's doing is identifying what conditions we need to set ourselves up for inevitable success in making this vision come to life. So it's the strategy that allows us to actually be successful instead of saying we want this, we don't fall through with it, and then we beat ourselves up because we think we can't fall through with anything.
Oh, that is so awesome. I feel like it's a whole reverse engineering kind of thing happening.
It totally is. And it takes the pressure off. For me, it takes the pressure off because I feel like I always have a tool I can go to. I never feel that's an absolute. I rarely feel disempowered in being able to, whether it's create my morning or certain parts of my day or anything like that, Because all I have to ask myself is, okay, what do I need in order for this to happen? And that need thing could be, you know, do I need to shift my beliefs? Do I need to shift my schedule? Do I need to have, I mean, it could be from a piece of clothing to a technical piece of instrument. It could be anything, depending where someone is and what they're doing. But it allows me to be empowered and be like, okay, just what do I need to shift? What do I need to create this condition that allows me to follow through and make it easier and more fun, or a little bit easier and more fun?
I think that's excellent advice.
Yeah, perfect. And it's achievable. Like, you can do that. Anyone, well, not anyone. Sometimes we need help. That's why you're here, Katie.
If anyone can do it with the help if they need it.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
I truly believe, I think we have to shift things in our mindset and believe it's possible in ourselves, and we need the conditions or the tools to allow us to take ownership and create it. But I mean, I see mm-hmm. it time and time again. As soon as we have those pieces, we can really shift the entire way we experience our lives.
Mm.
It doesn't mean you can change other people.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can change external circumstances. But even like in the situation with my mom, and even present day, it's, you know, if I'm feeling stressed or I'm feeling annoyed taking care of her, I'm like, okay, what I want is to feel grateful and experience time with her, even if it's not how I plan it to be. So the question is, okay, what do I need in order to feel that way? It's, okay, well, I need to shift my thinking. I need to shift my schedule so I'm not rushed. So it's not shifting her. It's not shifting the experience, but or shifting the external. It's just shifting how I get to experience my life and design it.
It's funny. I just put up a little go live today, a blog post on perspective. And how, you know, using perspective because, you know, we need all these little tools and tips and tricks, and what works for one doesn't always work for the other. But I think, you know, there's going to be different ways that you guide people to, you know, live their life by design, no question.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always going to be a one size fits all.
I love that you say, I feel with that, like, of trying different things on too. Like, sometimes we might try something
and open to it at least.
And being okay with the mentality of, oh, well, this didn't work, but I'm going to try something else. And knowing that it's not equating to your self-worth or it'll never be changed or anything like that. It's just saying, oh, well, that didn't work. It's like trying on T-shirts or something. Like, that didn't fit right, but I can try this on and see if it works for me.
Yeah, I think that's such a great analogy. I think we tend to be very all or nothing when it comes to these kinds of changes, and it can. That's why it can feel so daunting and just so out of reach for so many of us. But like you said, you can just try it on and see if it fits and see if you like it, and if not, you can return it. Try something new.
Yes. And the last I want to segue into is we have to take action. So we may come up with like this brilliant strategy and we know we need this and shift this and blah, blah, blah. But if we don't take action, like nothing will happen. Like, we can uncover and we can plan and we can strategize till we're blue in the face. But if we don't act, we kind of fail by default.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a fact. I think that that's the case for so many of us in business as well. I remember the days where I would do all the back end stuff and all the prep stuff, and I wasn't really taking specific action steps to get my business to where it needed to be. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong? Wow. But obviously that's what it comes down to. And it's almost a form of self-sabotage.
It's a total form of self-sabotage.
And our letting go of the control of that too. Like, it's also, feel like you're letting go of control to a certain degree, which is tricky as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Because we all have so much control in our lives. Or at least, well, we think we do. Yeah.
No. Well, and I think, this is kind of the philosophy of how I approach home coaching, but I feel like there's three things that we will do to really self-sabotage. And all of it's positive. It's like, we want to keep ourselves safe, we want to keep ourselves loved, or we want to keep ourselves feeling enough. And so with everything that we do, like, when we self-sabotage and we don't follow through X, Y, and Z, it's meant to try and keep us in our comfort zone, but really it's not allowing us to like show up fully and live our lives. So it's still sabotage by default.
Mm. Yeah, that's a fact.
I feel like we've covered
a lot in this. Do you feel like I wanted to ask you like one last thing. You had mentioned also like just one tool we can start using today to live more by design. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
We covered it. I like people to get curious. To get curious, but for what they desire or you desire as you're listening to this, it's the question, simply ask yourself, what do you need in order to make that happen? What do you need in order for your vision, for your desire, for what you want to come to life? It's simple. I mean, asking it sometimes is simple. But it's the one question that you can remember that will allow you to feel like there's choice in everything and to really start shifting it. And do we have time for like 30 seconds of a way you can expand on it?
Go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So a way I love for people to start identifying which one you're choosing and then to take that question going forward is I have them select one day in the last week and then one month in the last year, and finally the last year as a whole. And if you keep like a calendar of your schedules and events and to-dos or like your journal, that can help. But you want to pull those out, and then I have three questions that I ask. And the first one is, did I feel the way I desire to feel? The second is, did I choose this? And then if you answer no to either of those as you're reviewing the day, the week, or the day, the month, and the year, if you answer no to any of those, then the last one is whose beliefs, rules, or shoulds am I living? And then it's kind of like an inventory. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, that was awesome. I loved that. That wasn't. And then that's where you bring in that one question of, okay, you know, what do I need in order to shift this to, and then fill in the blank of what you do want. So it's very eye-opening. I do it for myself, but people love it because it's a place to really, like, do an inventory in your life and identify if you're living in that way. And then there's the question to start to shift it and change it from a place of being empowered.
So, I mean, Katie, we've covered so much awesome stuff, and I think people are going to want more of you. If we obviously, you know, had more time, we would love to dive in even further, but people can tap into your goodness. So maybe if you could let our listeners know where they could find you.
Yes. So you can just go to my website. It's KatieDenOuden.com, KatieDenOuden.com. And that's the juice of where I hang out. I'm not great on social media. that's not a tenet for me living by design at the moment. But my website and emails that I send out are a huge piece. And then usually once or twice a year, I do a free 10-day challenge. It's called the Skinny Dip Society Challenge, and it really gives you a little piece each day to walk you through living your life by design and really moving in the direction of what you do want. So those are the best ways to connect and interact.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with us today. I know I love what you talk about, and I know, Nicole, you know, both of us are sitting here agreeing about how valuable that can be for you know, it's life-changing. So we would encourage our listeners to go and check out a little bit more about what you do and tap into that. And if it resonates with you, then totally jump head first. And if you're totally resistant, you probably should go and jump head first anyway. into that.
I love that.
We want to thank our listeners for joining us today as well. We're going to be back next week. Until then, have a great week, and we'll speak to everybody then. Bye, guys.